Lights.
This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're going to be talking about scams targeting older persons, which also can victimize younger persons. We'll also be talking about identity theft victimization. For those of you who are listening to us live, whether it's in the Bay Area or on the internet at www.kalw.org, I will be letting you know in about a half an hour or so the local phone number to give you a chance to call in and ask questions. Tell us if you've been actually scammed, if you've been victimized, and we'll talk about that in the second half hour of the live program. My guest is Jay White, who is referred to as a pro bono emeritus attorney with the Legal Aid Society of San Mateo County. He's also a recent member of the San Mateo County Bar Association. This segment of Your Legal Rights is made possible, is funded by the San Mateo County Bar Association, which is composed of about 1,200 members. It's the only bar association in the country that provides private defender services for indigent criminal defendants. Additional funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, the Family Law Section of the State Bar, and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Jay, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
I think you need to define for us, just so that we know, what does pro bono emeritus attorney mean?
Well, it means I am voluntary. I do not charge my services.
Okay. And so people who come to the the Legal Aid Society of San Mateo County come in, and hopefully you are going to be able to help them in some respect. What we're going to do tonight, I hope, is talk about some of the issues that you're dealing with on a regular basis and try to get people to be aware and prevent these problems before they occur. Is that how you'd like to do it?
That sounds fine.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing over there at the Legal Aid Society.
Well, I work exclusively with seniors, but the problems they have could very well be the same types of problems as younger people would have, as Chuck just said. But the thing that seems to be prominent these days is, we could call it thievery. It's people that are cheating other people. I was surprised when I started working there how many thieves and crooks they are who make their living by just cheating other people. And the thing to look for is that first contact to determine that this may be a potential scam. If you receive a phone call, you may see a message on a television. You may receive a letter indicating that there's some value to you and that you should follow up and eventually end up giving them some money. Well, my first rule is do not give money on a promise that you'll receive something in return, because you probably won't get anything. If you get anything at all, it probably wouldn't be of value. Second thing is, during that conversation, or if you make a return phone call, however you end up communicating, do not give out your personal information, your Social Security number, your bank account number, your driver's license number, even your birth date. Because as Chuck will likely talk later, if you give that information out, it'll be used in one way or another to steal your identity and cost you one way or another.
All right. Let's talk a little bit. I want to go down a list. You brought with you a list of things, and we're going to touch on this. Funeral and cemetery fraud. What are you concerned about there?
Well, that happens quite frequently for older people. They will receive some sort of solicitation. It might be by television, or it might be by mail, offering to sell a cemetery service for what seem to be a very reasonable price. And so if they're successful in making that sale, then it turns out that the property never existed. There was no funeral service available. There was no cemetery plot, no other kind of service. It was just a pure fraud.
You know, the audience of this station is very broad-ranged in terms of age. I think middle-aged persons, older persons. We do get out to a number of stations throughout California. Not only is this broadcast in the Bay Area, but also on the Internet live at www.klw.org. But we record, for those of you who are not aware of this, we record the first half hour and we send it out to about 15 other stations that air the half hour the following week. And one of the things that I would like to stress for those of you who are not older persons, but obviously would have, I hope your parents still alive or uncles or aunts are still alive, I'm hoping you will listen to what my guest, Jay White, is talking about and kind of keep this in mind in terms of you're trying to make sure that your older person or persons, whether they're your parents or uncles or aunts or maybe older friends, are not victimized. So please, this is a program not only focusing on scams, which are victimizing older persons, but really all of these scams that we talk about on this segment of Your Legal Rights can affect a whole bunch of people, young as well as older. Lottery scams. You know, some years ago, and I'll be very brief, and then I want to come to you on this, Jay, if I may. Some years ago, I was alerted through the Marin County DA's office, because I've been a deputy DA for San Mateo County for, this is my 31st year, by the way, I was alerted that an elderly woman in Hillsboro, which is a very expensive area in San Mateo County, had been called supposedly by an attorney who represented himself as the attorney for the Canadian Lottery. He told this elderly woman, who was a widow, by the way, her home was fully paid for, no mortgage whatsoever. She had won $500,000 in the Canadian Lottery. He said to her, however, Mrs. So-and-so, before I can send you the check, you have to pay the taxes on this, and the taxes on the $500,000 are $100,000. This little lady had two credit cards, each of which had enough that she could pay $100,000, and she did. She sent it to Canada. A week later, she gets a call from the same guy who said, oh, Mrs. So-and-so, we made a mistake. By the way, you won $1 million. But again, before we can send you the check, you're going to have to pay an additional $100,000. A very good friend of this elderly lady was on a boat in the San Francisco Bay, and it happened that the Marin County DA was there. The friend talked with the DA, and the DA said, you better report this to the San Mateo County DA's office. It was reported to me. I had one of our inspectors go out to this elderly lady's home, talk to the lady. She was in the process of trying to mortgage her home to pay another $100,000. We were able to stop that. We were never able to recover the money in Canada because it was a total scam. I contacted the FBI up there. I contacted the mounted police. We couldn't find anything. What is your thoughts on lottery scams and sweepstakes scams, etc.?
Well, it's very common, and it frequently happens that a person will receive something through the mail, maybe an embossed letter saying, as you indicated, you've won maybe $450,000, or it may be from a European country, and it'd say you won 450,000 euros. But before we can pay the U.S., before we can send it to you, we have to pay the U.S. taxes. And it's sort of thing that it sounds almost to be too good to be true, and it's a plain scam. It's what it amounts to. And I had one instance similar to what you referenced, in when an old gentleman had been sending his money to Barcelona, Spain. He ended up sending everything he had, and he never got anything back. And there was nothing we could do about it. I tried to contact the U.S. Embassy in Barcelona, but they just wouldn't have anything to do with it. So we were stuck. The old guy lost all of his money. And was down to, he still owed a lot to that he had borrowed when he maxed out his credit cards to get cash to send to this person in Barcelona.
Well, you know, I had another one, an elderly gentleman who at the time when he came in, and this is just a few years ago, he was 70 years of age. He had been told that he had won some lottery with a pot of, for him, $245,000. They sent him a check. He was told he had won. They sent him a check for $4,800. He was told that what he needed to do before they could release the check to him is take the $4,800 check, go to his bank, which was a major bank, and deposit it, withdraw the cash, and then go to send it by telegram to Ecuador to help someone who had been victimized in a hurricane there, Quito, Ecuador. He did that. However, what he did when he went to the major bank, he talked to the manager, put it in writing, said, I want to make sure that this check, this $4,800 check, is genuine. And the manager said, fine, we will make sure it's genuine because my consumer in San Mateo County said, there's no rush on me taking this money out. I want to make sure it's okay. So he came back about a week later and talked to somebody and said, oh, yeah, that check is cleared. You don't need to worry about it. He withdrew the money. He went to send it by wire to Quito, Ecuador. About a week or two later, he finds out the check was fraud. It was counterfeit. What happened with him is that the bank took out of his account. He had some other money of his own in his account. They took out that money. They told him then he still owed the bank $33,000-some-odd because they had given him good money. And the interesting thing about this is that he tried to protect himself. Under federal law, the bank has to release money, I think it's something like within 3 business days. And whether or not they know that the check is bogus or not. And so that was what he was confronted with. The bank broke its contract with him. He filed in small claims court to try to get the bank to reimburse him for this. And unfortunately, he lost. By the time he came to my office, he had already lost in small claims court. So my message to those of you who might get involved with something like this or be tantalized about getting involved with this, don't. It's terribly dangerous, just terribly dangerous. And as you said, Ken, if you get some kind of solicitation, whatever it is, whether it's on the email, it's in the mail, it's on the telephone or whatever, and the offering of the deal sounds too good to be true, it is most likely close to 100%, if not 100%, not true. Do you agree?
I agree 100%.
Yeah, yeah. What about internet bank fraud? One of the things that we need to be very cautious about if we have a computer is you're getting an email from your bank, you're getting an email from someone who may be saying, by the way, we understand we've done an investigation, you may be the victim of a fraud, we need your information, or you get some kind of email from the IRS. What comments do you have on that?
Well, the scammers use all kinds of false identities to get your attention. They might purport to be from the IRS. They might purport to be from your local bank, maybe purport to be from your credit union, to get you to log on and maybe give them a phone call so they can start a dialogue. And once they start talking with you, they have some very persuasive people that can convince you that what they're trying to do, try to sell you, is legitimate. So any time that you receive a message, an email message, and you don't know who sent it, you don't recognize the sender, my suggestion is you just delete it. Don't open it.
Yeah, yeah. And the same thing if you get a telephone call of this nature. I think it's something like AARP a couple of years ago reported that older persons on a yearly basis are victimized to the extent of $40 billion, B as in boy, $40 billion based on fraud on scams. And so you want to be very, very careful in terms of what you're doing in that respect. And certainly you will learn, or I want you to know, that the IRS does not send emails. Mm-hmm. It would be highly unusual if your bank sent you an email, let alone your credit card company. And if you get something like that, and it's purportedly from some entity that you have in your bag of tricks, let's say, that you deal with, before you respond to something like that, you need to make an independent checking with either your credit card company, your bank, or even with a local IRS office as to whether or not they are sending out emails. Do you agree?
I agree 100%. And if it happens to be your local bank, purportedly your local bank, you can get on the phone and call your local bank and say, did you send me an email message?
Yeah.
And same way with a local credit union. Now, if it's an IRS thing, I'm not sure exactly who you would call to verify that they had not sent you an email message, but as you say, they don't send out email messages, so just ignore it and delete it.
Yeah. Another thing that I know you wanted to talk about, and I think this is important because we see ads for free lunch revocable trust mills, where you can go and find out what you may do if you want to set up a trust. Would you talk briefly about that?
Yes, some of those can be beneficial if you participate and listen in to what's being said. They have some very knowledgeable presenters that can state the truth as far as what the law is. But the hook is that they will take your name and telephone number, address, and later some persuasive person will call you and try to convince you that you should buy insurance or buy an annuity. And since they already sort of have you on the hook, they've done you a favor by giving you a free lunch, you may feel obligated to go along with them. But the free lunch, it's used a lot, but there's always a hooker to it, and it's my observation that if you do participate, don't allow somebody to sell you something after you've attended.
Yeah. In other words, obviously, you will be solicited at some point probably to buy some insurance, buy an annuity. And these are things that, as Jay is talking about, are things that you need to be extremely cautious about. And if you have a financial advisor or someone who you can trust, whether you want to call the local consumer protection unit of your local district attorney's office, or you want to call the Better Business Bureau, or you want to call someone at your bank who you trust in management and ask them if they can give you any input on this, please be very careful about that. You also, in your list of things that you wanted to discuss, Jay, you talked about or you listed predatory lending scams. I think that's also terribly important for older persons to be very careful about.
Yes, that can be very, very detrimental. It frequently comes up in the terms of refinancing. For one reason or another, the homeowner will be convinced that refinancing is the way to go. And it usually ends up so that the extra money that's received as for the refinancing may well run the monthly payments up to the point that the homeowner can't afford them. And meantime, the money that they've received, it's usually frittered away in something in the way of commissions or extra charges, so that the homeowner doesn't receive anything at all for this refinancing, but ends up farther in debt.
It's a Call a Lawyer night. We have a number of attorneys here who don't have phones to their ears, and I'd like to have them have the phones to their ears. These attorneys are very supportive of giving you information that may be helping you. We do this every month. 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. I'll tell you in the second half hour who they are. We have workers' compensation law, criminal law, legal malpractice law, landlord-tenant law, employment law, patent law, aviation law, lemon law, tax law, real estate law, bankruptcy law, which tomorrow I'll let you know who's available. If you're being hounded by creditors, you can call Leon Baer, a certified specialist in bankruptcy, and he'll be available tomorrow, Thursday, between 8 and 11. I'll give you that phone number in a little while. But again, call a lawyer night, 1-800-525-9917. In just about 5 or 6 minutes, we'll be taking calls on the air for your concerns about scams, your victimization, or someone you know who's been victimized. That number, 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing a program on scams, which target older persons but can also victimize all other persons of other ages. In a few minutes, a couple of minutes, I'll be talking about identity theft victimization. My guest is Jay White, who is a pro bono emeritus attorney with the Legal Aid Society of San Mateo County. He's a member of the San Mateo County Bar Association. And what I'd like to do in just a few minutes now is give you, by the way, with respect to, let's say, identity theft, the Attorney General's office, Kamala Harris, who's the California Attorney General, last year her office put together an outstanding outline. It's very comprehensive, entitled Top 10 Tips for Identity Theft Protection, Tips for Consumers. If you have something to write with, I want to give you the website so that you can access this if you become a victim of identity theft. I think before you even become a victim of identity theft, I think you should want to read this so that you can prevent this. The California Department of Justice, the website where you can find this is www.oag.ca.gov/privacy. OAG, of course, stands for Office of Attorney General. So it's www.oag.ca.gov/privacy. Again, this is entitled Top 10 Tips for Identity Theft Protection. What it tells you basically is, and I found this in being a deputy district attorney in a number of cases that I've been involved with for San Mateo County, people neglect to look at their credit card statements on a monthly basis and look at them carefully and see if there are any kinds of charges that have been made there. I think we're all a little bit lazy and we don't do that. And what can happen is your identity may have been stolen, and there may be charges on your credit card statement that you know nothing about and that you need to look at. And if and need to report, and there are three major credit reporting bureaus that you can contact. In this Top 10 Tips by the Attorney General's Office, you'll find that there's Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion where you can report this by phone. If you have been significantly damaged, you can request that there be a fraud alert put on this. You can contact one of the credit reporting agencies, report that to the agency. It, in turn, will report this to the other two agencies to protect you. If you find that you're very concerned that you have been victimized, you should probably go to your local police department. Under the Penal Code, California Penal Code, the local police department is required to take a report from you, give you a report, and that's something that you want to share with any creditor that is saying you opened an account but you didn't. You want to send a copy of that with a letter to that creditor. You want to send a copy of that to each of the three credit reporting agencies. If you do that and follow the instructions of the Attorney General's outline, the top 10 tips, what will happen is the credit reporting agencies, if you need to, if it's severe enough, they will put a freeze on your account. And you have to contact each of the three credit reporting agencies to do this. So put a freeze on your account so no one can do anything further. And if, for example, your debit card is stolen or your debit card number is stolen. And this can happen if you go, for example, to a store anywhere or a restaurant or whatever, and you use either your credit card or your debit card. You need to contact, if it's a debit card, your bank immediately to cancel the card. If it's your credit card, you need to contact your credit card company immediately about that. If you are contacted by a debt collector for some debt that you know you haven't incurred yourself, what you need to do is write to that debt collector that you are the victim of identity theft. Say that you dispute the validity of the debt. Say that you did not create the debt and are not responsible for it. And also include a copy of the police report on this. Again, if your driver's license has been stolen, you need to contact the DMV directly to inform them about that. And one of the things that I think is very important for people, if you do not have a locked mailbox that you have to open, or let's say your mail carrier will open when he or she delivers the mail, if that's the way it works, or at least no one can get into your box without you unlocking it. If you have a kind of a mailbox that is not locked, never, if you would, put outlying bills, in other words, your checks going to your creditors in your mailbox, to have your mail carrier pick that up. That's if you are unlucky enough to have a scammer, as we use the word crook or thief, in using polite language, who might go into your mailbox to steal your identity. You want to be very careful about that. Don't do that. If you are ordering new checks from your bank, normally, I think the process will be you'll ask the bank to send the checks to your home. Again, if you do not have a locked mailbox, do not ask your bank to send them to your home. Ask your bank to have the checks delivered to your bank where you can pick them up from the bank. That way you can really save yourself a lot of trouble if you are unlucky enough to have a crook monitoring mail coming in and mail going out in your neighborhood. It doesn't happen all the time, but you don't want to be one of those unlucky persons. One of the other things that I want to alert you to, which I think is a very good website in terms of scams, you might want to jot down, is www.scambusters, scambusters.org. /ATM theft.html. Now, that's talking about ATM theft, but the website that I highly recommend to you to take a look at is www.scambusters.org. It has a lot of very fine information. I receive this on a regular basis, and I think you might find it to be very helpful to you in terms of trying to be alert to things that might confront you in terms of your being scammed. We are coming to the end of the statewide version of the program. Those of you who are listening to us live, whether it's in the Bay Area or on the internet, www.klw.org, please stay with us. It is about nearly 7:29 at 91.7, your local public radio station, KLW in San Francisco. This is our Call a Lawyer night, by the way, and we have, let me see, do we have all of the attorneys, Martin, on phones? I'm trying to see. Yeah, it looks like they're pretty busy there. The number is 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917 for our regular Call a Lawyer night. Here's who we have. For workers' compensation law, Alice O'Sullivan. She's a certified specialist in workers' compensation law, former chair of the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. Criminal law, certified specialist Jeff Hayden, who is the president-elect of the San Mateo County Bar Association. Legal malpractice law, Peter Fortune, certified specialist. Landlord-tenant law, Sal Timpano. Employment law, as well as landlord-tenant law, Joseph LaPera. Patent law, aviation law, lemon law, Ron Rohde. tax law, real estate, and he's a real estate broker, Frank Adam. And for bankruptcy law, if you're being hounded by creditors tomorrow, Leon Baer, who's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, incredibly generous with his time and has been doing this for years. He's down in Los Angeles. He'll be available tomorrow, Thursday, September 25th, from 8 a.m. to noon. You might want to jot down his number, 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. If you call him and the line is busy but you get his voicemail, please leave your name and phone number, say you listen to Your Legal Rights, and he'll call you back. So there you are. It's 1-800-525-9917. For those of you who would like to talk to Ken, pardon me, not with Ken, to Jay and me, pardon me, Jay, it's 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. My guest is Jay White, pro bono emeritus attorney with the Legal Aid Society of San Mateo County. And this segment of Your Legal Rights is funded by the San Mateo County Bar Association. And let's start with Tom. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Chuck. This is the first time I've called Your Legal Rights, so I've listened to your show often, and so thanks for the...
Well, I'm glad you're calling. Go ahead.
Well, I'm 68 years old, and I have an excellent credit rating, and I got a notice from a collection agency, I think, but somehow I got notice that I wasn't paying the Navy Federal Credit Union for the Mercedes that I bought, only I didn't buy it, and I'm not a member of the Navy Federal Credit Union, although I was in the Navy. So now this has theoretically been handled. I have finally gotten hold of the Navy Federal Credit Union. Someone else was calling me first, maybe with the collection agency, I'm not sure. And so an initial delay, but the Navy Federal Credit Union now realizes that the scam has been, I guess, on them,
mm-hmm.
but I'm involved, mm-hmm. and I'm not being held accountable for the $40,000 or $50,000 loan that was used with my information.
Wow!
So what I'm wondering now is, I haven't done much in proactively, and they were going to correct my credit score. I'm not sure if that has happened yet or not, but I'm left feeling somewhat vulnerable and wondering if I should be doing something. You can't change your Social Security number. There was a higher level of alert that we put all of our credit card informations, and I don't know the particulars of it, but somehow things have to be now, I think, run through us if there's a... over $1,000 is being asked.
Tom, let me interrupt you for a moment.
Okay.
Do you understand that this outfit that has been telling you you've got to pay this, that they have your Social Security number?
Well, it's my understanding that something to identify me was used to convince the Navy Federal Credit Union that this was me.
So wait a minute. Are you saying that you understand now that the legitimate Navy Credit Union is actually dunning you?
No. I'm saying that they were the Federal Credit Union thinking that they were loaning money to me, mm-hmm. a person who had a good credit score. Only it wasn't me.
I see. Okay. Have you reported this to the police department?
I'm not sure.
Where do you live, Tom?
In the Bay Area.
Okay. Go to your local police department, for one thing, and report this. Do you know if the Navy Credit Union, the legitimate Navy Credit Union, is opening up or has opened up some kind of an investigation on this?
They have.
Okay.
There has been an investigation, and they have determined that I do not owe this money.
Okay.
That they are on the hook for it.
All right.
So that is that's taken the pressure off of me, and with that decrease, with the pressure off, I'm not doing anything more. And then in response to that, we called the major credit union.
Sure, there are three of them.
Right.
My suggestion is that what you should do in addition, because this may, to your knowledge, do you know if the major credit unions, Experian, Equifax, or TransUnion, have any information about this so-called debt that you owe? Have you communicated with them to determine that?
I think what we have done has been to call the Navy Federal Credit Union was going to call and make sure that the credit unions that you just mentioned were aware that this was not my debt, and that we put on a higher. There's something you can do to that. They will that any debt, any request for a loan over $500 or $1,000 has to be double checked with mm-hmm. me in person or something like that.
Oh, that's good.
Does that?
That's good.
I'm not sure if I have faith in that, but yeah. I think we had to put a limit on. I think that's something and then I think you pay an extra $100 or $200 or something to get that level of security.
Who are you paying that to? Do you know?
Well, no, I'm not sure. It just seems to me that there was some fee to set up.
Let me suggest.
But I'm wondering but one question I had, it kind of the impetus for the call, although it may not be important, but is there some? I mean, this person may still have the information on me and be waiting in the wings for another try at somewhere else.
Yeah.
Is there something else I should be doing?
Well, I'll have Jay to respond also, but I want to recommend to you. Do you have a computer at home?
Yes.
All right. Did you take down the Attorney General's website?
I just got your Scam Busters.
All right. I want you to take this down and look at the Attorney General's top 10 tips for identity theft protection.
Okay.
Here it is, www.oag. .ca.gov/privacy.
Okay.
That's the website for the California Department of Justice, and the Attorney General's office last September put together this really fine consumer information sheet. There are a lot of pages. It's not just one sheet entitled Top 10 Tips. I think what you should do, if the Navy Credit Union has any kind of investigative report that they can send you, and they may not.
Right.
I think what you should do is you should go to your local police department, because under the penal code, you are entitled to go to the local police department, inform them that you believe that you have been, at some point, a victim of identity theft. Ask them to prepare a report, give you a copy, and then what you should do is contact each of the major credit reporting agencies. There are three. Send them with the appropriate your cover letter, or there's some proposed letters in there in this material that the Attorney General's office put together, with a copy of the police report informing each of the credit reporting agencies that you are a victim.
Okay.
And that way they will put that in there, and it will not affect your credit. I mean, what it'll do is, if there is something in there about this so-called debt of yours, this will clarify this for the credit reporting agencies. And what you should also do, Tom, if you haven't done it, you should request from each of the credit reporting agencies, because you're entitled to a free copy of your credit report.
Okay.
And if you have been victimized and you send to the credit reporting agencies a copy of the police report, you're entitled to a free credit report from each of the three credit reporting agencies each month. So you could end up, if you want to be barraged with credit reports, you could end up with 12 from one, another 12 from another, another 12 from the third. So what comments do you have, Jay, for Tom?
Well, I would certainly take advantage of obtaining the free credit report. That's something that can provide very vital information. If there has been something entered on the report that shouldn't be there, And if there's something on the report that shouldn't be there, then there's an opportunity to correct that. The credit agencies always accept certain forms with providing certain information to convince them that this particular item on the report should be deleted or modified or somehow explained.
And, Tom, I think you need to go to the trouble of really being more aggressive on this, because in the long run, I think it's going to protect you. And I highly recommend that you go and take a look at, and if you can, download and have the thing in your hands, the Attorney General's top 10 tips. We're going to move on because we have a number of people who would like to talk.
Thank you very
much. Yeah, take care. Bye-bye. By the way, for those of you who would like to know more, so if you've been a victim of identity theft, or if you're trying to, let's say, prevent identity theft. A friend of mine who's also a member of the San Mateo County DA's office, San Mateo County Deputy DA Peter Lynch, is going to be making a presentation on Thursday, October 9th at the San Mateo County Law Library, which is in Redwood City across the street from the Hall of Justice. The County Law Library is at 710 Hamilton Street. And Peter Lynch, Deputy DA Peter Lynch, will help you to understand and identify how theft occurs, how identity theft occurs, how to protect yourself, and ways to determine if you are a victim and what to do. You're invited to attend this free lecture at the Law Library at 710 Hamilton Street, Redwood City, Thursday, October 9th at noon. Bring your lunch and enjoy it, and you'll be able to ask Peter some questions. He's a very knowledgeable, very pleasant guy. I think you'll enjoy it. And if you'd like some more information, you can call the library at 650-363-4913, 650-363-4913. All right, Phil, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, this is a great service you're doing.
Thank you.
From the previous caller, if I had identity theft from my ATM card for $70, five transactions, is that worth contacting the police and doing that?
Sure, of course, because okay. If this has happened to that extent, it may well be going to happen again.
Okay, I got you on that.
I would do it. I would do it, yes. Yes.
My question is a general topic regarding unsolicited debt reduction notices by mail and phone calls.
Yeah.
Are those legit? Or because I've gotten phone calls, and then later I've called the credit card company, and they don't marry up with any of these debt reduction companies.
Well, I would be very, very careful. What comments do you have, Jay, about this?
I would agree. That's something that is happening on a different scale. Just recently, the scammers have been mining the court records, looking for people who have been sued, and then calling the people who have been sued and saying, we will settle your case for a considerably less amount of money than you're being sued for.
Yeah.
So it is something that is happening, and you really need to be alert and be prepared to avoid it.
Yeah, and what I'd like to suggest to you, Phil, do you have a lot of debts at this point?
Yes.
Okay. I'd suggest to you tomorrow to give Leon Bayer, a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, a call.
Mm-hmm.
There's no obligation on your part whatsoever. This is a public service that Leon is doing. He's a certified specialist through the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, which is the major funder of this program. Leon will be available tomorrow from 8 a.m. to noon. Jot down this number, 1-800-477-3111, 1-800-477-3111.
Right.
He's been doing this for years, usually the Thursday morning after I do Call a Lawyer on Wednesday evening. Tell him you've listened to Your Legal Rights and that I suggested you call him.
I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you for calling. And do that. It may be helpful to you. One of the things that I am very wary about as a deputy DA is that some people who are thinking about debt reduction through different businesses perhaps should have seriously considered first contacting and getting some advice from a bankruptcy attorney to determine whether or not bankruptcy may be the better way to go. And I think that that's a good thing to do. You need to educate yourself, and I think contacting certainly a certified specialist in bankruptcy law in your geographic area. If you go to the State Bar of California's website, you can find the level for certified specialists. I think that's the way to go. So good luck to you, Phil.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, take care. All right, it is our Call a Lawyer night, and we have a number of attorneys here in workers' compensation law. Alice O'Sullivan, by the way, it's 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. Please make them feel they've spent the time here worthwhile to them by talking with you. Criminal law, Jeff Hayden, a certified specialist. Legal malpractice law, Peter Fortune, a certified specialist. Sal Timpano, landlord-tenant law. Joseph LaPera, employment law and landlord-tenant law. Ron Rohde, patent law, aviation law, lemon law, BBB arbitration. Frank Adam, tax law, real estate law. He's also a real estate broker. And again, I just gave you Leon Bayer's name and phone number for tomorrow from 8 a.m. to noon. And by the way, if you call Leon Bayer and you get his voicemail, leave your name and phone number and say you're calling because you got his name from Your Legal Rights, Chuck Finney, and he'll call you back. All right, again, Call a Lawyer night, it's 1-800-525-9917. If you'd like to talk to Jay White, my guest, pro bono emeritus attorney with the Legal Aid Society of San Mateo County and a recent member of the San Mateo County Bar Association, 1-415-841-4134. And we have Steve. Hi, Steve.
Great program. And this very time, I want to echo what your previous callers have been saying, is that I've been getting a lot of inbound calls that have been people that pretend to be from Microsoft. And I can tell by their accent, they are from a different country, and they're trying to get you to set up your PC so that they can take it over.
Oh, wow.
So, and there's an elderly guy that I take care of. He's an 88-year-old gentleman, so I kind of help him. But he was telling me that he's been getting a lot of calls himself, as you said. I think the tax one around April is always a big one. But would your guests talk about these awful people, and what they do is they trade lists. So once they know that they have someone who bites, that, like with that elderly lady, that they'll try to get her again and again, and even sometimes that they'll say that they'll try to help them get out of the scams, and that's a scam itself.
Yeah. Let me ask Jay to respond.
Great show. Thank
let
you.
Me ask Jay to respond to that. Steve, thanks for calling. Jay, you have some comments about that?
Well, it's not uncommon that once a person has been scammed, they're on the list, so to speak, and they're considered potential victims. And as I understand it, the name gets circulated around, and they will get additional calls. I know this one lady who responded to one of the scams, and since that time, over the last few years, she's received at least half a dozen solicitations for various things. So once you get on the list, you're going to be there for a while.
And frankly, if you get, you know, I think in what I've learned as a consumer advocate, as a deputy DA for San Mateo County, if someone starts getting interested in seeing if they can get involved with a lottery, and I'm not talking about the legitimate California lottery, I'm talking about other lotteries, and they're looking to see if they can make some money, win some money, so they have something in the next few years, it's incredibly dangerous, incredibly dangerous. Don't do it. Our number here, if you'd like to talk to Jay White and me, is 1-415-841-4134. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. For a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. That number is 650-369-4149. 650-369-4149. Call during normal business hours. You should get someone on the line there. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a bar association and lawyer referral service. If you call during normal business hours, you should be able to speak to someone live on the phone. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone experienced and set up a half an hour consultation for you with that attorney, and you'll pay. This money does not go to the attorney. It goes to the bar association lawyer referral service to keep it going. You'll pay in most counties somewhere for half an hour between $25 to $35. It's a great investment. Before we take our next call, here's a question that was brought in to me. I'm always seeing late TV night ads about LifeLock, identity theft protection. This is supposed to be a proactive organization that says it provides more protection than credit monitoring and watches out for you in ways banks and credit card companies can't. Does your guest have an opinion on LifeLock and similar groups that provide protection from identity theft? Do you have any experience with that, Jay?
Regarding that specific organization?
Yeah.
I do not. But one of the things that I would suggest right away is to go on the Internet and see if there have been complaints filed against it.
Yeah.
You can Google it, get the organization, and most cases, there will be several comments. Some of them will be favorable and some of them not favorable, but the negative comments can be very informative.
And also, there's a website that you can Google called Ripoff. And it's quite good in showing that there are consumers who have complained. I also recommend that you contact your area Better Business Bureau to see if they have received any complaints against a company that's providing services for identity theft protection, etc. And just do some research before you do anything. All right. Ken, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hey, thank you. I just wanted to give a quick echo because my mother was a victim of just what the last caller mentioned, and I'll quickly tell you how it happens. She gets a phone call that says, "Hi, I'm Joe Johnson. I'm here from Microsoft, and we're detecting unusual signals and activity on your computer." And then they'll instruct the person to go to their computer and do a bunch of things and basically essentially enable them to take control, and then, you know, the scam proceeds. Now, I had to, gently dope slap my mom and tell her not to hang up. A year later, she calls the same thing. Oh, this guy seemed nicer.
Oh, my.
Sister, the same thing happened to her. This is 3,000 miles away on the other coast. And it also happened to their neighbor. And it's the same thing where they say they're calling from usually Microsoft, and they go into a diatribe, and they try to string the person along to suck them in. So please, seniors, don't fall for this. Hang up.
Yeah. Well, no, thank you, Ken, very much for that. Has your mom been ripped off in terms of any loss of money?
No.
Good.
Thankfully, she did get off the phone.
Good.
But the neighbor wasn't so lucky.
How much did the neighbor lose? Do you know?
It was a couple of thousand or something.
Oh, that's not good. That's not good.
You know, don't get drawn in. And, of course, they prey on seniors who are lonely and who might be more likely to talk on the phone.
Yeah. Ken, thank you very much for that.
Example.
I appreciate it. The other thing that I would suggest with that, if you have an elderly senior, whether a parent or an uncle, aunt, or maybe a friend who you feel is a target of scammers, we also call them crooks, we also call them thieves. In polite language, in unpolite language, we call them something else. In any event, If this is happening and you are concerned that this person is being constantly called by one or some other so-called helping office, et cetera, if you can, it's helpful if you try to help that older person. Perhaps go to the telephone company and get a new phone number. Get that person off that phone number. Cancel that phone number. That's one of the advices that is given by consumer agencies that are concerned about consumers. And if this continues on a basis like that, it's my recommendation that you help the older person to actually file a complaint with your local district attorney's office, the Consumer Protection Agency. Because the DA's Office Protection Agency may be able to be of some assistance in trying to stop this. But you can help your older friend, your older relative, by trying to convince that person to change, cancel the old phone number, and get a new one. All right, I think this will be our last call. Adam, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you. Great show, guys. I have a number of those calls that came in, but I have a very other new strange call that came in to me very recently.
Yes.
And the guy said that he's calling from IRS, and his agent he gave his whatever the agent number or whatever that they gave, and they say I think they are targeting immigrants in this, and they said. We have uncollected taxes from you, and a group of federal agents will be landing in your house in half an hour, and you have half an hour right now to negotiate with me and do your settlement. I said, I am a fairly educated guy, and I mean, in computers, I know these scams. I said, this is interesting. How do I verify that you are an agent?
Mm-hmm.
He gave me a callback number.
Yeah.
Which on my cell phone, I called that number. No, he called me on my cell phone from my landline. I called that number. His associate picked up that line and completely verified step by step that this is happening right now. And luckily, I did not give him anything, but
Good. It
was so convincing. Now that I have a callback number and all the details and everything, it was a New York number. Who do I complain this to?
Do you have any comments on that, Jay? What I would certainly do on that one, Adam, is I would start with contacting the District Attorney's Office Consumer Protection Unit. They might refer you to one of the federal agencies. If it appears that this call is originating out of New York, it may be that the local district attorney's office will contact the prosecuting office in New York to see what's going on in terms of an investigation. That's how I would start.
Is there a website instead of doing the call, waiting for the somebody to pick up? Can I just go fill out a form and say here it is, go through it, and if they have the process, then they can call me back?
I'm not sure I understand what you're asking, frankly. I think the best thing for you to do is contact your local DA's office. Unfortunately, we have run out of time, Adam. I'm sorry. One further thing, everybody. Call a Lawyer Night. One last, a few more minutes is left. 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. Jay White, I want to thank you very much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Been a great pleasure having you on the program. Thank you for all your great information. Jay White is a pro bono emeritus attorney with the Legal Aid Society of San Mateo County, also a member of the San Mateo County Bar Association. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. This segment of Your Legal Rights has been funded by the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Trusts and Estates Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, The Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco and the California Applicants Attorneys Association. If you or someone close to you, a family member or friend, have been a victim of crime, we're going to be talking next week about services for victims of crimes. My guests will be Jeanette Ritchie and Joanna Artiega, victim advocates in the Victim Services Office of the San Mateo County District Attorney's Office. Thank you very much for joining us on Your Legal Rights. Please join us next week. I'm Chuck Finney.